Following is a paid program on 630 WLAP. This is the Tom Dupree Show on News Radio 630 WLAP and WLAP.com.
Welcome to the camp. I guess you all know why we're here. My name is Tommy, and I became aware this year. If you want to follow me, got to play pinball. And put in your earplugs, put on your eye shades, you know where to put the caulk.
We're gonna teach.
An old cowpoke went riding out one dark and windy day. Upon a ridge he rested as he went along his way. When all at once a mighty herd of red-eyed cows he saw, a plowing through the ragged sky, and up a cloud he draw.
Welcome to the Tom Dupree Show. We're coming to you from just outside of Nashville, Tennessee. We've taken our show on the road again. And joining us for this hour is Don Finto. He is, I don't even know how to introduce this fella. He's a man of the world, a man of God, and we are so thankful to have him with us. So, Tom.
Okay. Let me start by reading Psalm 13, King James Version. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemy say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. We have with us today a man who, at least in Middle Tennessee, needs no introduction. His name is Don Finto. He has been a pastor, a teacher, an encourager, in many ways a facilitator of the spiritual lives of numerous people in this community in Nashville, and he's been doing it for a number of years. And it just wouldn't make sense for me to get into why we're here, but just let's call it the hand of God. He was born in West Texas, and I'm always interested in people telling about their roots and their early years. And, you know, Don and I lived in Houston and did go to West Texas quite a bit on business and grew to really love it. And I just am so interested in hearing about your early years, and if you would tell us about that, and then we can go further.
My early years were interesting because they were pretty different than a lot of people's early years. My dad left the family when I was two. I have three older sisters. I had. They're all gone on to the Lord now. 5, 7, and 9 years older. And I was the fourth child. And when I was two, my dad left the family. And I never really knew him until I got grown. And I intentionally sought him out and got acquainted with him. By that time, he had multiple sclerosis. And I carried him to the car. He had a farm out in Levelland in the Lubbock, Texas
area. I know where it
is.
Yeah.
And I carried him to his car and drove him around the farm. That's the first time I ever saw him. Walked up to his house, and of course there were no phones back in those days. I've got some miles on me, so
yeah.
And so I just drove up to the area where I knew he had the farm and started asking around if anybody knew Tom Pinto, and they told me where he, people would tell me, yeah, well, back over there anyway. So I had to ask, and then I walked up, and the woman that he left my mother for answered the door, and shocked, I'm sure. But anyway, so that began, and then
you did not. You don't seem to be a guy that carries resentments around.
No, I don't. I've learned, but I had to learn. I mean, there were some major people that I had to forgive in my life, because Matthew 18, 34 and 35 says, if we don't forgive, we're turned over to the tormentors.
That's right.
And when I saw that, I made sure that so my dad was one of the ones I had to forgive, the woman that he left with.
Uh-huh.
My mother died 2 years later, and so I was only four. And my three sisters and I moved in with my maternal grandparents. And that's when we were, you know, on the farm out 8 miles out from a little town named Lamesa, Texas.
I know right where it is.
and then I was hungry for a father.
Uh-huh.
And my grandparents had 10 children of their own.
Yeah.
So let's see. When my mother died, there were 7 boys that were still living.
Yes.
And 4 of my youngest uncles were still in the house there. My granddad was tired and didn't know how to show affection, and so there was a preacher cousin of mine that started showing affection to me and turned into sexual molestation.
Oh boy.
And so, you know, that shapes your background.
Absolutely.
And so I had a lot to overcome, but the thing that was interesting for me is that it seems always to have thrown me toward the Lord, not against him.
Beautiful.
Because I knew that that was not God. I knew that all that was not God. And so it made me hungry to really to know him. But I had to deal with all the effect of that as I got older, because I had all these images in my mind that until I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, I couldn't get rid of.
Let me ask you this. You've ministered to a lot of people. And many people have a very they had a father, and they have a very negative view of father, and it is very difficult for them to relate to or even want to have God as a father. They see him as stern, unforgiving, judgmental, and even harmful. Mm-hmm. And, you know, how have you helped people deal with that over the years?
Well, first of all, I had to deal with it myself because of all that. But I knew somewhere along the way, as I got older and went to high school and way college and so forth, during all those years, I knew that was not right. And I did all kinds of crazy stuff to feel the Father's hand. For example, I can remember as a little kid, of course, not having a father, and we were church people, big time.
Yes.
And
Baptist?
No.
Church
no,
Christ.
Church Christ.
Church Christ.
Yeah.
That's right. I'm sorry.
And the narrowness of the Church of Christ, which, you know, in those days, which is not as much so now, thank God. But I remember as a kid sitting on the front row of church, during church, and I was a very hyperactive child. But I remember that I can still feel it almost, that if a man were to put his arm around me and I could feel his hand on my shoulder, I would freeze because I was afraid if I wiggled, he'd move his hand. And I loved the feel of this man of a man's hand on me.
Yeah.
So what I would do later, I would do crazy stuff. When I was a professor at Lipscomb for years, 8 years, and during that time, I remember driving over alone in the car before you had bucket sheet seats, and I would shove all my stuff over the side and tell the Lord to scoot over and put his arm around me.
Oh, boy.
Or I would go walking. I mean, there was one time I taught a downtown Presbyterian class at lunch for 20 years, and one day I parked the car, and I remember walking, and I was walking like I was holding hands.
Yeah.
Because I said, Lord, I need you. And so I was holding hands with the Lord, walking along. I mean, I'd go into a room and when nobody's around, and sit in a chair and put another chair across from me talking to the Lord. I'd go to the phone and pick up the wall phone.
Pretend like he was on the phone.
Yeah, I'd pick up the wall phone and hold my finger so that it wouldn't get the dial tone to talk to the Lord. I did all kinds of stuff to sense the presence of the Lord.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, to me, it seems obvious that his hand was on you for you to have experienced those things. And it seems, this has been my experience. We grow towards and go towards the area of our greatest emptiness or pain.
Exactly.
It seems like that is the thing that really does define us. And it's the thing that over which we have no control. You know, we can't fix it or make it go away. Yeah. And that ultimately God uses it. It's just like, you know, Jacob with the cleft in the hip and yeah. kind of thing, that you've been touched by God. You have an area of pain that gives you the ability to minister ultimately there, if it doesn't destroy you.
Exactly. Exactly. No, you're exactly right. The very thing that, I mean, see, I was reared fatherless. And so in the Lord, you become what you never had.
Exactly.
And all the kinds of things that happened to me, to say that I don't have any regrets, that would be kind of foolish. But the point is, I've seen how the Lord has used all of that to mold me. And so I've forgiven everybody and I had learned forgiveness and all that. And it was interesting, Tom, I was in a youth retreat in Florida. Oh, I was in my late 40s probably. And I'd never told anybody about the sexual molestation. I was so ashamed of it, even though I was a kid.
You feel like it's your fault.
Yeah, yeah. But there was a young man, we had over 400 kids in Florida on the beach, and he spoke in the evening and I spoke in the morning. Mm-hmm. And he gave, the first evening, he gave his testimony. And, you know, when somebody gives their testimony, you're just always basking in it because, yeah. oh, that's the way God is.
Yeah.
But he had godly parents.
Yeah.
And so, but he still rebelled in his teenage years, but he was back walking strong with the Lord. And I'm just delighting in it. I'm sitting on the front row. But when he gets through, the Holy Spirit started moving on me, and I thought, whoa, what's this? And I knew that if I stayed there, I was going to disintegrate in front of 400 young people. And so I thought, wait, I got to get away and find out what this is. So I left and found a dark spot where nobody was around and just let go. And I started wailing and sobbing and shaking. And I knew it was the Holy Spirit, but I couldn't even talk. I couldn't think. I couldn't talk to the Lord. And it went on. I don't know how long it went on, but I let go. I mean, I wasn't trying to stop it. But finally, when I got able to stop, I said, Lord, what is this? Is this self-pity? Because I didn't have that kind of rearing. And he said, no, it's gratitude because I've made you whole.
Gosh.
Now, I want you to get up in the morning and tell them your story.
Yeah.
Because there are more of these kids that can relate to you than related to him. So that was the first time I'd ever told that story. And sure enough, there were young women who'd been molested. There was a 17-year-old kid who would never know who his father was because he was a son of a prostitute.
Yeah.
And so then I had to come home and tell my home congregation. That's when, and from that time on, I share it because I know that there are people right now listening that need to know
yes.
if they can get hold.
Absolutely. Don, tell us a little bit. Let's switch gears a little bit. Tell us a little bit about your career and the churches that you served and the different ministries that you've been involved in here and that, and just things you've done.
Well, I went to a Christian college, Abilene Christian in Texas. But back, I was 11 to 15 during the war years, the Second World War. And I would lie awake at night worrying about what if the Germans and the Japanese took over America. But I remember thinking, but they can't all be demons. There's got to be some of them over there that would like to follow the Lord.
Yeah.
Well, that was the background. So that when I was a senior in college, a man came in recruiting people to go to post-war Germany after the war. And I didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit, but I had to go.
Yeah.
And so I agreed to go. And then so
to do what?
To go to do mission work in post-war Germany.
Okay.
And so when Martha and I married, we went to Germany and stayed 8 years.
So you must have been in your early 20s.
I was 22 to 30.
Yeah.
And then came back to this country and stayed in Memphis for 3 years, then came up here and started teaching at Lipscomb University. And I was the I was taught German and Bible, and they put me for a PhD in German literature. So I was head of the language department when I after that. And it was during that time that I got baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
And since it was a Church of Christ college that at that time didn't want people baptized in the Holy Spirit,
yeah.
Thank God that's all changing.
Yes.
And so that's when I went to the Belmont Church, and they only had about 65 or 70 members, and then I was already involved with the Jesus Movement people.
And they didn't allow instruments,
no instruments
in the singing.
Nothing about the Holy Spirit until I went there. And and all that, and I was
and
there
you,
for over 25
years. You had
years.
Some fairly high-profile folks that
we did.
That came through and were under your teaching.
Well, Amy Grant was, and her oldest sister were the two first Grant girls that came to Belmont during that time. And
Smitty.
Amy was like 15 when
yeah.
they came. And she's the first one who ever brought a guitar into an assembly. Because
that's a crazy story.
She was given permission to from one of the elders that had been in all the coffee house ministry, which was across yeah. the street with all
so
kinds of
So y'all had a coffee house that allowed a guitar,
oh, yeah,
but
all
not
kinds
the church.
Of, oh, yeah, but that didn't come into the morning assemblies.
Yeah.
And she told her dad that she thought she had a song for Sunday night. And he said, well, ask the elder in charge. And she asked the elder in charge, and he was a retired Church of Christ preacher who was also all in the coffee house ministries. And he forgot that, oh, well, this is Sunday night. This is not the coffee house. So he gave her permission, and she used her guitar. And so we had to decide then before the end of the week that we weren't really non-instrumental music anymore.
We so lost one that elder. Didn't cause you to get ejected from the Church of Christ?
Well, the Church of Christ doesn't have a denominational hierarchy like some.
Okay,
they're
I
all
see.
Independent congregations. Yeah.
yeah.
And so then we changed our name, which is crazy. We were Belmont Avenue Church of Christ, but because we were different, we were always having to say, but we're not like the other churches of Christ.
Yeah.
So then we dropped everything, and it's just now Belmont Church. Yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
And talk about the Caleb Company.
Well, after 25 years there, the Lord arrested me with a passage out of Numbers 8, where Moses was to tell Aaron to put the Levites into the tent of meeting from their 25th to their 50th year. And when they were 50, they're no longer to do the work, but to assist the people doing it. And the Lord, the crazy, but the Lord arrested me with that and said, I don't want you to be pastor the rest of your life. I want you to devote yourself to raising up the generations.
Yes.
And so I started Caleb Company, which we now call Caleb Global. And because I wanted to challenge old people to still take their mountains when they're 85 and beyond, like
yeah.
the biblical Caleb. And Caleb's descendants inherited the land, and I wanted to raise up descendants, spiritual descendants.
Yeah.
And he was wholeheartedly devoted to the Lord all of his life.
Right.
And so we started Caleb Company.
That's
and,
beautiful.
Yeah. And now that's another whole story. I met Todd McDowell, and he had been in Youth with a Mission for 15 years.
Right.
Anyway, that's a...
So,
whole story.
I'm going to share with everybody, you're 90 years old.
I am.
And
I would say 90 years young.
Yeah, well, that's a slap in the face to somebody that's lived all those years.
No, it's not. He's got so much more living to do.
Yeah, but so the thing of it is, you exemplify, I believe, non-self-promotion. You're promoting others into places of influence using your wisdom and the things that you know
yeah.
to help others kind of get where they want to go.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
That's got to be, I sort of try to do that in our business, and it's very fulfilling.
It's extremely fulfilling. Because you actually have more delight in their success than you ever did in your own.
That's right.
But let me tell you something about the 90 thing. I was, when I turned 80, I was just so glad to get it behind me because people had made such a big deal out of it.
Yeah.
But when I turned 84, somehow that sounded old. And I was thinking, man, that is sounding pretty old. And I felt like the Lord said, I don't want you to live like an 84-year-old man.
Yeah.
I want you to live like a man of God who happens to be 84. There's a huge difference in
yes.
that. Yes. So when I saw one of my young guys that was 16 at that time, and I told him that story, and I said, you're not supposed to live like a 16-year-old. You're supposed to live like a man of God who happens to be 16.
Yeah.
But see, there's a big difference in that because I think for too long we let age define us.
Yes.
And the age tell us what we could and couldn't do. But I don't want to ever do that. I mean, I don't pretend I'm not old. I am. I'm older, at least. But I don't want it to define me if it doesn't need to.
Well, if it does define you, then it makes it difficult for you to learn from others and them to learn from you because you've occupied a role defined by age that can be very self-limiting.
Right.
And, you know, I don't believe that in the spiritual realm that we're to be like that. So why would we do that? And it's as if we're just learning more things. Anyway.
It's time for a break. It's the bottom of the hour break. You're listening to the Tom Dupree Show with our friend Don joining us. We'll be back with more great conversation in just a few minutes. Stay tuned. Across these endless skies.
While 2020 threw many of our resolutions for a loop, at least we're somewhat ready for 2021.
Things are not going to be the same.
In a COVID world, be prepared with injections of information on News Radio 630 WLAP.
Hi, this is Tom Dupree. If you've been listening to mainstream media, you might have deduced that our new president has been decided and that there are no remaining questions. But the facts are much different. There are ongoing legal challenges alleging vote fraud in multiple jurisdictions. The legal options for those making those claims are far from exhausted, despite media claims to the contrary. If you would like to stay informed about these developments, I'd advise you to follow Newsmax, One America News Network, War Room Pandemic, and the website of the Eric Metaxas Radio Show. These are good places to start to get alternative views on what is happening. And also, be sure to listen to the Tom Dupree Show on News Radio 630 WLAP and WLAP.com from 7 to 9 Saturday morning.
You know what's not healthy? Stressing about work, or maybe you're out of work. Stop. Hit reset. You can start a new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months from the comfort of your own home, even if you have zero computer experience. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. Live online classes meet just twice a week. Financial aid, including the GI Bill, is available to those who qualify. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
I'm Anthony Imperato, president of Henry Repeating Arms. Patriotic American are looking to protect and provide for their families now more than ever. Henry has over 200 rifles and shotguns to choose from. Made in America or not made at all. And backed by a lifetime guarantee. Order a free catalog, decals, and a list of Henry dealers in your area. Go to henryusa.com or call 1-800-958-4993. Thank you and God bless America.
Looking for fast, easy, and secure electronic banking? Community Trust Bank has a wide variety of banking services to meet your needs, including internet banking, bill pay, and mobile banking. We now have even more great services like Apple Pay and Google Pay. Make payments directly from your smartphone. And People Pay, a fast, easy, secure way to send and receive money from your smartphone. Visit us at ctbi.com or stop by one of our 79 branch offices.
Community Trust Bank, building communities built on trust. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
We have a mostly dry day out there for your Saturday, starting out here on the weekend with an Arctic chill in the morning hours. Temperatures still around the single digits, even upper teens. But then as we get into the afternoon, temperatures try to rebound a little bit. Highs, though, only into the mid-30s. I'm WKYT meteorologist Adam Bernstein.
Broadcasting live 24-7 from the heart of Big Blue Nation, this is News Radio 630 WLAP, an iHeartRadio station.
Ready for some good, clean fun? Red Mile Gaming and Racing is open, and we can't wait to have you play our mean, clean, winning machines. We've got nearly 900 of your favorite games in a clean, safe environment for you and your crew. It's a win-win. Red Hot Excitement at Red Mile Gaming and Racing. All bets are on. Visit redmileky.com for details.
You know what's not healthy? Stressing about work. Or maybe you're out of work. Stop. Hit reset. You can start a new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months from the comfort of your own home, even if you have zero computer experience. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. Live online classes meet just twice a week. Financial aid, including the GI Bill, is available to those who qualify. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
Newsmax TV. Everyone's talking about it. 30 million people are watching Newsmax for real news on President Trump, Biden, the election, and more. And make sure you vote in Newsmax's national poll asking if President Trump should concede. Just text VIRUS to 39747 and vote instantly. That's VIRUS to 39747. Watch Newsmax for great shows on major cable systems and free on Roku, YouTube, smart TVs, and more. Vote about Trump. Text VIRUS to 39747 today.
Hi, this is Tom Dupree. If you've been listening to mainstream media, you might have deduced that our new president has been decided and that there are no remaining questions. But the facts are much different. There are ongoing legal challenges alleging vote fraud in multiple jurisdictions. The legal options for those making those claims are far from exhausted, despite media claims to the contrary. If you would like to stay informed about these developments, I'd advise you to follow Newsmax, One America News Network, War Room Pandemic, and the website of the Eric Metaxas Radio Show. These are good places to start to get alternative views on what is happening. And also, be sure to listen to the Tom Dupree Show on News Radio 630 WLAP and WLAP.com from 7 to 9 Saturday morning.
630 WLAP.
Take me back to dream again. By a campfire on the trail. By a campfire on the trail when day is done. Let me smell that chaparral.
Welcome back to the Tom Dupree Show for the second half of the hour. Joining us is Don Finto. We're coming to you from just outside of Nashville, Tennessee this week. We got more stories to hear. It's your turn, Tom.
The reason we're playing the Sons of the Pioneers is because Don is from West Texas. And he agreed that that would be an appropriate musical selection, given that I'm sure you listened to them on the radio when you were growing up.
Oh, yes.
So, you know, we like to kind of adapt our music to the to who we have on the show. Don, you described twice being filled with the Holy Ghost. Some call it the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got a lot of people that probably don't quite know what that is.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to describe your experience with it, your understanding of it, and that would be good.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting that I was talking to you the story about being called to Germany when I was a senior in college, and arguing the Lord, not really wanting to do it, but something, the Holy Spirit was working on me, but I didn't know it was the Holy Spirit then. I just knew.
The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. It's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Some of these people don't.
Yeah. But And so I could see all kinds of ways in which the Lord was working with me through His Spirit through those years. I can see that now.
Yes.
But what the interesting thing is that having grown up in the Church of Christ, a big scripture in the Church of Christ is Acts 2:38.
Yeah.
Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
And this promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord will call.
So that's describing what we call Pentecost in the church, where the Spirit came down with flames of fire. And
yeah, but he says this, what they've received, and they're all speaking in tongues, that gift, he says, is to you and your children.
Right.
And so what I later realized is, and I credit Watchman Nee with this kind of thing. I'm not sure that this is what he said, but that you go into a bookstore and you buy two books, but you walk out with just one of them. And so all you have to do is go back to the bookstore and say, wait, that other book I already paid for. Let me have that one too. Mm-hmm. So I had received the forgiveness of sins, but I had not received the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
I mean, I hadn't been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And so I left one of the books in the bookstore. And so I had to go back to the Lord and say, wait a minute, that's already paid for. I want that one too.
Yeah.
And so, but I didn't, I mean, it took me a long time to see it that way. But
in other words, you had already received the right to that when you got saved. But, and then some, I've heard them say, well, you got the Holy Spirit when you got saved.
Mm-hmm.
But others say, no, you have to have a second experience, a baptism or a filling with the Holy Spirit.
And I don't think you have to. I think it can all be done at one time if you know that that you're receiving the Spirit.
Yes.
And beginning to walk in it. But I had not been walking in it. And so during the Jesus movement, when I was teaching, I taught Bible and German at Lipscomb.
Yes.
And during that time, I'm with all these Jesus kids.
Yes.
And they're all getting baptized in the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues and believing in the gifts. But I didn't believe in all the gifts. You know, and so here I am in a college at that time that didn't affirm that. And I'm wrestling with this because I am very, very grateful for my Church of Christ roots.
Mm-hmm.
Because one thing they taught me and I'm still doing. And that is, read the book and do it.
Yeah.
I mean, and so I genuinely believe that I am doing to this day the thing I was taught in my youth, but the people that taught me didn't understand the fullness of what they were saying.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, is it possible to really live the Christian life and do the things Jesus says to do without the Holy Spirit?
I don't think so. I mean, because the Holy Spirit is the empowering expression of God.
So, in a sense, what happens if you don't have the Holy Spirit, it leads to a type of spiritual Phariseeism where you think you're keeping the law because you just simply transpose the works of Jesus to the law or make them legalistic the way the Israelites did with the law, and you're trying to do it in your own strength.
Yeah. And the reality is you're not going to be able to do all the things that you do. And so until you have the fullness of the Holy Spirit, you cannot walk in the fullness of all that God wants.
Right.
So I begin, and you remember I told you earlier about the whole sexual molestation that I had in my childhood. And I knew that it was wrong, and so I didn't walk that out any further, but I never could get my mind cleansed. I almost drove myself crazy trying to be good, but I couldn't get rid of the images that were part of my childhood. I was exposed early to pornography, things like that, and trying to until the freshness of the Holy Spirit. So anyway, I'm teaching at Lipscomb, and I'm with all of these young people, and they'd lay hands on me and pray for me. You know, and I mean, what about the gifts? And
yes.
And so one night I finally decided, it was December of 1969. I was 39 years of age and I was still teaching at Lipscomb, and I thought, okay, Lord, I've got to get this solved. And so after the family was all in bed, I got my Bible out and I knew where all the passages were, on Holy Spirit power and strength. I knew where they were. And so I said, Lord, let's you and I pretend I'm a third grader and barely learned to read. Let's pretend this is the first time I've ever read this book. I am going to tell you that I'm going to believe everything I read. And so I began to read all the passages about the Holy Spirit and strength. I mean, for example, it was easy for me to get the one in John 7:37 about, you know, that it was like drinking water, you know, the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I mean, some of those were easy, but I remember, and then reading through Romans and Romans 8 about the Holy Spirit. I mean, those were relatively easy for me, but
yes.
When I got over toward 1 Corinthians, I started getting nervous because I knew what 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14 said. Yeah. But I had committed to the Lord. So I'm reading in 12 about the gifts, and then I go to 13, which is the one in love. And when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. Well, that which is in part is the gifts. Well, the perfect hasn't come.
No.
And there was no question in my mind that night that the perfect has not come. Therefore, all the gifts are available.
Yeah.
All the time.
Right.
And so I knelt by myself. I'd had lots of people praying for me.
Yes.
Lots of people. But because I was a pastor and a professor and had students. And
well, you weren't too high and mighty to have people praying for you.
No,
that's
right. So anyway, so I by myself knelt and said, Lord, I'm asking you to baptize me in your Holy Spirit. And as long as I have my present understanding, I'm never going to ask you again. I'm going to receive this by faith. The same way I have received forgiveness of sins.
Yeah.
Because I had already understood that I'm righteous in his sight. I'd had that message. And so now I'm saying by faith, I'm receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, I was sort of hoping that I would speak in tongues, and I was kind of hoping that I wouldn't, you know, and nothing. It was zero. Yeah. I didn't have any kind of experience at all.
Yeah.
But I said, okay, Lord, I'm living with this.
Yeah.
So what happened was, I didn't speak in tongues, but the next mornings, I was different, and I started having experiences. For example, I said to the Lord that night, you know, from now on, I know you've been talking to me. John 8:47 says that those who belong to God hear what God says.
Yeah.
So you've been talking to me, and I didn't know it was you. I thought of that stuff. So from now on, when I hear anything that is unquestionably good and couldn't possibly be wrong, I'm going to say, give me the energy to do it and I'll do it because that's you. And if I hear anything, and this was key, that's unquestionably evil and can't be right, I'm going to say, get back to hell where you belong.
Yes.
That's not my thought. You threw it into my head and then accused me of it. So that was huge. And so the next morning I woke up. I usually got up at 6. I woke up at 5:30 with a long letter written to somebody that was an encourager that I thought needed tweaked in something.
Yeah.
And I got up and wrote 2 pages of a letter.
Yeah.
And went back to sleep and then went to teach my 8 o'clock Bible class. And I felt like I was no longer just Don Pinto. I'm God in Don Pinto.
Wow.
And students started confessing sins to me because they thought that I already knew by the way I was teaching.
Yeah.
And then the second morning, I woke up at 2:30, and I was writing encouraging notes to people. And I thought, I looked at the clock, and I said, 5:30, Lord, but 2:30? But I thought, I can't think of why it would be wrong to get up. I couldn't, and so I got up. And for 2.5 hours.
How old were you?
I was 39.
Yeah.
So from 2:30 until 5, I wrote 26 notes.
Oh my gosh.
And then went back to bed at 5 and slept an hour. But one of those letters, I can tell you who one of the letters was to, and he knows it. But one of them was to Dan Harrell, who later married Kathy Grant.
Uh-huh.
And Kathy, the oldest sister's husband. And he was not walking with the Lord.
Yeah.
And I wrote him a note, and basically it said, Dear Dan, I'm praying that you'll be miserable until you've turned your life back to the Lord. I love you, Don. Well, within 2 months, he came back to the Lord. I baptized him. He became our college minister. So anyway, so there was stuff like that was happening to me. I knew the Lord was working on me. But and so I was walking in the gifts, all kinds of gifts, but not. I started praying for a big 6'8" guy, and he starts manifesting. I mean, just all kinds of stuff started happening. But it was months before I spoke in tongues.
Yeah.
And so that's why I challenge people, don't ever say, I mean, accept the baptism of the Holy Spirit by faith. And there's no, I don't see there's any biblical thing that says that tongues is always the initial evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I don't agree with that.
Yeah.
But when that happened, that's a whole nother story. I was praying for somebody, and when this person got released, she was catatonic, schizophrenic. She was just frozen. And when she got released, we all were, there were three of us, her fiance and I were praying over, and we started rejoicing and all of a sudden I think, oh, wait a minute. You're not talking English. You're talking something else. Listen to what you're saying. Anyway, that was the first time I'd spoken in tongues. Yeah.
All right. We got about 8 minutes. I want to talk about Israel and your focus on Israel. And many Christians are told that we should be interested in Israel, that we should pray for Israel, we should do things. But what do we do? How do we do it? I think the why is self-explanatory because it's in Scripture, you know, that God has not, although many have interpreted, I believe misinterpreted things into what they would call a replacement theology.
Right.
Which can be very destructive. It could even be the reason why Hitler was able to.
And it can awaken a lot of anti-Semitism.
Terrible amounts.
Yeah, which is rampant in much of the church.
It's, it's throughout. And so talk to us about this.
When I went to Belmont, it was in the height of the Jesus movement. The Jesus movement started in 67, and I went to Belmont in 71, 4 years later. And the thing that happened was all these hundreds and hundreds of young people were coming to the Lord, and I was involved in their lives. But what was interesting was that some of these dropout hippies that had become Jesus freaks, that's what we call them, were Jewish.
I was one. Okay. I had hair down to here, and I was a Jesus freak.
Okay. And they were Jewish, and I was their pastor. And so they were coming.
I wasn't Jewish, but
they were coming to me and saying, "Wait a minute, are we grafted into you, or are you grafted into us? Isn't this our Messiah? Isn't this our book? Didn't we write it?" And so I started having weekly meetings with my Jewish flock to try to help them figure out what does it mean now that you're Jewish. You didn't, as one of the guys said, he didn't drown his Jewishness when he got baptized. He's still Jewish.
Yeah.
And for centuries, people were told by both the church and synagogue, "You're not Jewish anymore." Well, that's a lie. And so I started getting acquainted with the new Messianic movement.
Yeah.
And I got so deeply involved in it, and I saw two things that I didn't see anybody writing anything about. And that's when I wrote the book, "Your People Shall Be My People."
Yeah. That was written, what, in the 70s?
It came out in 2001.
Oh, okay. 2001.
It came out in 2001. I wasn't, which was after I left the pastorate at Belmont.
So, we were with Marty and Jennifer Getz earlier, and I asked Marty, I said, are you a Messianic Jew? And he said, well, it was more like, I'm a Jew who is a Christian, and there's a little bit of a difference.
There are different
because he people. Doesn't observe all the different things that some Messianic Jews do. They're very observant.
Well, I would say that most of the believers that are in Israel would clearly say they would not call themselves Christians. And the reason is because in Israel, if you call yourself a Christian, it's like you've joined another religion.
Yeah.
And they haven't joined another religion. They're still following God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They didn't convert in the sense of joining another religion.
Yes.
And so there was that. So anyway, I saw this, and so I wrote "Your People Should Be My People" for two reasons. One is, I saw that it is prophetically the time for Jewish people to come to faith.
Let's put in a naked plug for the book real quick. It's called, what's the updated version called?
It's the same thing.
Your people shall be my people. Don Finto. You can buy it on Amazon. Probably.
Came out in 2016. Be sure you get the late model one.
Yeah, 2016. The 2016. Yeah. All right, go ahead.
Yeah. And then, so that was one thing that it's, and I believe to this day, it is the time. I mean, for example, in Ezekiel 36, verses 24 and following, God says, I'm going to bring you back from the nations where I've scattered you. And when I bring you back, I'm going to take out of your heart of stone and put in your heart of flesh. And I'm going to put my spirit in you and move you to do my will.
Wow.
Well, I talk to the Lord almost daily about this. Lord, you brought them back from the nations, but you haven't yet put your spirit in them as a whole nation.
Yes.
To do your will. Or Hosea 3, 4, and 5. They won't have a king for many years, no sacrifice for many years. Afterward, they, Israel, not just a few hundred thousand, the millions, all of them, they will return trembling to the Lord and his blessing in the last days.
Right.
So number one, I wrote the book because of that. Number two, I wrote it because, according to Romans 11, 12, and 15, when the Jewish people start coming back, it releases revival all over the world.
Yeah.
Paul says if their transgression means riches for the world and their loss means riches for the Gentiles, how much greater riches will their fullness bring?
Yes.
If their rejection...
Where is that?
That's Romans 11, 12, and
okay.
15.
Yeah, that's, is that where he's saying, I wish for my brethren that they...
Yeah, that's Romans 9.
Romans 9.
But if their rejection is the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead?
Yeah.
And so I believe the revival in China and South Korea and now Iran, and I believe it's time for revival all over the world.
Well, I hear a huge revival is going on in Iran. That's what I've heard.
Yes, yes. We've talked to some of those. We talked to one of those Iranian pastors, and he's got, I mean, there are no church buildings and no 501c3s and no branch of Christianity. It's just all believers, house to house.
Oh, my gosh. Are you cutting us?
No, it's not quite time yet. I'm just getting overzealous. I'm enjoying this conversation so much I was afraid I was going to miss getting us out on time.
Don, I want to tell you, I really just met you today, but I've only known about you for about 3 weeks. This is nuts. But I just feel like I know you. I feel like your spirit and your message and your life is just something that I so admire, and you know, and I'm just so thankful that you agreed to meet with us and do this.
Well, I still carry this so deeply in my heart.
Yes,
I mean, I carry the salvation of Israel. In fact, this is the first year since 1994 that I haven't been to Israel.
Really?
Because there is a,
wow.
But I'm talking to my Israeli friends every once in a while. It's hard for them.
Yeah, they're having a tough time over there. They're locked down.
Yeah.
Well, I so wish that that we, the people, could see Don Finto, and we're going to
just Google him. Donfinto.
I'm talking about his demeanor when he speaks and everything. It is just.
Well, you can see him on YouTube.
It's been such a pleasure, and I do hope people will look him up. Don,
buy his book.
Yeah, Don Finto, F-I-N-T-O. Well, here we go. This is a wrap. That was a quick one.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Tom Dupree Show, coming to you outside of Nashville, Tennessee. Stay tuned for the next hour. We'll be back with some news from the financial markets. We'll be back in a few minutes. Stay tuned.
And I wonder if you miss me too. I can see the great divide and the trail we used to ride.
What a wonderful world.
Because it ain't always wonderful. Stay informed at the top of the hour. News Radio 630 WLAP.
Hi, this is Tom Dupree. If you've been listening to mainstream media, you might have deduced that our new president has been decided and that there are no remaining questions. But the facts are much different. There are ongoing legal challenges alleging vote fraud in multiple jurisdictions. The legal options for those making those claims are far from exhausted, despite media claims to the contrary. If you would like to stay informed about these developments, I'd advise you to follow Newsmax, One America News Network, War Room Pandemic, and the website of the Eric Metaxas Radio Show. These are good places to start to get alternative views on what is happening. And also, be sure to listen to the Tom Dupree Show on News Radio 630 WLAP and WLAP.com from 7 to 9 Saturday morning. The end of the-